From Hallmark, a wish that all our families can be together this Christmas.
I want you to listen to this. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy holidays from Blood and Black Rum Podcast. This Christmas, we're doing something slightly different. We're bringing you on an adventure through Hallmark Christmas movies, specifically those starring Lacey Chabert, in a series we're calling Chabering Gifts. You can expect visits from Christmas past and present, trips through Rome, and a whole lot more. We hope you enjoy our very festive and slightly romantic approach to this year's Christmas season. And just remember, heavy petting is not allowed.
Goulet!
Hey guys, welcome back to the Blood and Black Rum Podcast. I'm Ryan from ColdSploitation.com, and I'm joined with my co-host, Martin.
How's it going?
We're doing well. We are...
Chabering Gifts?
Yeah, we're Chabering Gifts, that's right. I think we're at the last episode before the Christmas holiday for Chabering Gifts.
But I think we might do one more.
We might do one, yeah, we might get one more in there, you know, as a special. But it's actually, I was expecting that we were going to have more episodes, and unfortunately, the way that it worked out, it's only four. Should have started earlier in November, I guess, to really get the season set up with all of these Lacey Chabert Hallmark movies.
I know. I think we got the short shrift this year.
I know. Yeah, it seems like a short Christmas season this time, which is weird, too, because the Thanksgiving holiday was so early. It's actually almost one of the earliest days that it could possibly be. So how did that happen?
I think we always like do four films, but it just seems like it's short. Cause it's like, oh, Christmas is already here.
Last year
we only did four films too for Festivus.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just because we've been having so much fun with the Lacey Chabert Hallmark movies that we just
feels like
it's flown by. Chabering Gifts.
Yeah, you were so proud of that pun. So you need to kind of bandy it about a little
bit. Throw it out there every now and then.
Like on Blood and Black Rum Podcast with Chabering Gifts.
Or like just during the episode, whenever I say anything similar, I should just say Chabering.
We're going to turn it into a verb.
Yeah, and just use it all the time.
Just so.
It'd be a running joke on the show. Chabering.
Oh, you're Chabering.
You say it with a pregnant woman. Oh, I see you're Chabering children.
Where is the Lacey Chabert Hallmark maternity films?
Yeah, right. I know. Actually, yeah. Every time most of the time now when we watch a Lacey Chabert Hallmark movie, she's either like a single mom or doesn't have children. You don't see her prior to giving birth. Yeah. So this time we've got an episode that actually it's probably good that we saved the best for right before Christmas time. The one that is going to be the best episode to talk about, because this is the movie that we're going to discuss is a horrible, awful movie in terms of actual watchability. Like if you're sitting down and you're like expecting good movie, you're not going to get it from this one, but it also has notes of hilarity to it because it is just so unintentionally comedic that you just have to sit back and laugh. So it's a fun movie to talk about. It's not so much fun to watch on your own because I definitely had a difficult time getting through this one. I had to take a couple breaks, walk away for a second, and then come back to it because it's not one that's very easy to just like sit down and get through. Did you plow through it there?
Oh, I did. Did fine.
Just sat down, did your hour and 20, and got out. It's great.
I did my time, and I do it again too.
You do it again for Lacey. For no one else involved but Lacey. No, the movie that we got on here premiered in 2015, and I believe it premiered, if I'm not mistaken, it premiered with the celebrity that's involved in this movie. with a new song that she had out, I think, for Christmas time. I think it was like kind of a tie-in. And then not only that, Hallmark also did like a special after with this celebrity. So I think there was like this whole tie-in for it to occur. And that's how they kind of got all this stuff involved. So we're talking about A Christmas Melody, starring and directed by Mariah Carey, the one, the only Christmas queen, Mariah Carey. This movie, well, first of all, I do have to question whether Mariah Carey truly directed this movie.
Is it like Tobe Hooper and Steven Spielberg on Poltergeist? Right. Like, you know, who did what? It's a big secret.
I am not sure. Like, I know that they credit it to Mariah Carey, but I'm just going to put this out there that I do doubt that she actually directed this movie. I think she directed her own scenes, maybe. Maybe she just basically said, she basically said, look, here's how you're gonna me, right? But I don't know that they actually, like, she did the whole movie. I think someone else just filled in for whatever she didn't feel like doing. So that's my guess. That's my take on it, but I don't know. But anyway, she directs, and she technically stars, although she really, for being so heavily involved, being a director, she did give herself a pretty shit part.
Well, you know, that's the very, very much shit. Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
What's that?
The fucking goober from like the Marvel movies.
Happy. Yeah. You mean John Favreau.
Yeah, there we go, John Favreau. I don't know why I blanked on his name, yeah. Like, you know, very Jon Favreau of you to be like, I'm directing and I'm in the movie, seventh credit down.
Well, but Jon Favreau gives himself the best parts. Because he gets to be all up in,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Right? He gets to basically.
Yes. Yeah, he's with everyone's favorite MILF.
That's right.
Marissa Tomei.
That's right.
The fact you were blanking on, I would say the fact you were blanking on her name is very sad and troublesome.
Yeah, but in this movie, she gets kind of the shit part. She plays like a uppity PTA mom.
Something Mariah Carey would never settle for.
She did settle for it because she.
No, I mean, I'm talking about life. Do you think Carrie would like settle down and be like, I'm
settling for a PTA mom? No way.
I'm going to be the Harper Valley PTA mom in Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. No, that's not what Mariah Carey's all about. So A Christmas, like I said, A Christmas Melody. I was wrong. The tie-in song is not from the same year. It wasn't a new one. That came out in 2010, but she did perform on the Hallmark Channel. They had like a whole Mariah Carey holiday Christmas special where she performed some songs and they had like special guest stars and all kinds of stuff. Apparently back in 2015, Mariah was all over Hallmark Channel. But the reason we're including it is not because of Mariah, of course. It's because it truly, the film's true lead is Lacey Chabert. Lacey Chabert plays a single mom, which the film definitely makes you know consistently throughout. Keeps basically having an arrow point, a neon sign pointing at Lacey Chabert saying, she's single, she's a mom, she's a single mom. Trying to make things work, trying to make ends meet. So she plays a single mom. Moves back to her hometown in Ohio, and her daughter's struggling. Makes a Christmas wish to Santa, and I hope we have a great Christmas holiday. And that's how it all starts, A Christmas Melody.
Also known, the working title was Mistletoe and Melody.
Hmm.
That's more Hallmark pun, you know, alliteration there.
I think I kind of like that one better than A Christmas Melody, because A Christmas Melody kind of harkens to, oh, it's going to be like A Christmas Carol, except maybe a musical version of A Christmas Carol or something like that. You know what I mean? Because it's got, you've got like that play on words, A Christmas Melody, A Christmas Carol. I kind of like Mistletoe and Melody more because it does signify that this is not going to be a Christmas Carol, you know, remake or anything like that, and it has the alliteration that is appropriate for a Hallmark movie, at least in my opinion.
The film got 3.95 million viewers on the release.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing to think of?
I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad for Hallmark, to be honest with you.
That's a lot. That's a lot of goddamn people.
And we're going to talk about later on after we get through our beer talk. We're going to talk about what that meant to those 3.5 million people, or however many it was, who tuned in to watch that. Because what they tuned in for and what they got were probably two very different things. Let's take a break. Talk about the beer that we have on the show today. You picked well, because the beer that we have, with its nice roasted coffee notes, goes quite well with today's sponsor on our show. And I'll leave it at that for now. But it's a nice coffee brand sponsoring the Christmas Melody show. So, you picked up a beer from Founders it's surprisingly, even though it's one of their, you know, more traditional standard styles, we've not had it before.
Sorry, it is a flagship beer of theirs, and it's rare that we haven't had it because we are big Founders fans here.
Yeah, they're calling it part of the Venture series, which I don't really know from Founders. I think that's a newer thing that they're doing now, is they're calling it, like, you know, like everybody puts beers into a series now. So like you have that FOMO, like, oh shit, I missed number 6 in the Venture series. So I think that's kind of a new thing that they're doing now, because I've never heard of that before. But I do think that this has been like kind of one of their standard beers for a long time.
No, because it's been one I've seen constantly, but kind of because of the style itself, I haven't bothered to grab, because it's like, I'll get that one day. I just haven't bothered.
Yeah, and last week we had a stout on, and this week we have the ugly stepchild of the family, which is a porter, which is, you know, besides the different naming conventions and slightly different recipe, it is a stout by any other name. I mean, they're in the same class, same family, very, very minimal difference between the two. But for whatever reason, stouts, people are saying, oh, I'll spend $50 on a new Goose Island stout. But if they came out with we got the new Goose Island porter this year, people would be like, a porter. I don't know. Porter. I don't know about that. But it's funny because, I mean, they, for better or worse, they truly are very, very similar. There's, you know, maybe a slight less maltiness characteristic to some of them. Maybe to the certain extent, they're not as roasty and toasty and blackened with the black, you know, caramel malts and things like that. But for the most part, they're a very similar style. And I think porters are really underappreciated because they are also a very solid style of beer that people just miss out on for whatever reason. So go ahead. What do you think about this Founders porter that we have?
It's damn good beer. Porters are beers that I've always liked, but again, I constantly in my head will mix up the brewing difference, which there, you know, there is a difference, but in my head, like, I constantly like intertwine the two together. I do like the style quite a bit. It is underrepresented though, because I think people going for, you know, big, flavorful, overly alcoholy stouts has kind of, you know, been the craft style for years and years. And it's kind of sad that one of the better versions of a porter in the past, like 10 years, is a Yingling having a Hershey chocolate porter. But no, this is really good. It's very smooth, very easy to drink. Has nice notes of dark chocolate. Very, you know, nice coffee flavor. I like the dark chocolatiness to this is great. It's, you know, nice and bitter with like nice little sweetness to it. It's great. Subtle hint of coffee. I wouldn't say too much. It's definitely more, you know, the roastiness of like the dark chocolate. But it's very easy to drink, very warming, very delightful. I like this a lot, and I'm kind of sad that it took me forever to finally pony up to grab one.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really, really solid porter. I think it's a very, like I said, it's an underappreciated style. It's one that maybe doesn't have the extreme roastiness or even sometimes like the barrel aged elements that stouts get. But again, they're very similar styles. This porter has a great coffee note. Like you said, dark chocolate note. The dark chocolate, I think, maybe even comes out a little bit better in this porter style because there's not that overwhelming amount of additional elements that a stout could have. So you get that nice dark chocolate texture, very creamy, very smooth tasting. And then they also describe it as having a graham cracker sweetness, which I do agree with. I think it does have that nice little graham crackery maltiness at the end, which is just slightly sweet, not like overwhelmingly sweet. And it's obviously not like a s'mores porter or anything like that, but it does have like those subtle notes.
A little bit of smokiness to it.
Yep, slight smokiness. Overall, it's a really well-rounded beer, and you can tell why this is one of their flagship series, because it's something that they do really well, very solid all around, and really impressed with it. And it makes sense, too, because they do have a number of different stouts and porter style like variations on this. So the base beer itself being very good does not really surprise me. Because I think that, you know, they're using this as the base for a lot of the additional things that they're doing. So really solid. I like it a lot. And especially now, considering, you know, Founders has kind of branched out and they've been doing some things that I haven't particularly been extremely impressed with. Like, I think that Founders, again, they do things very well. But in my opinion, the all day series that they've been putting out recently hasn't been up to snuff for me, at least. And that's partially because sometimes those sessionable IPAs and such they just aren't suited to like my preference of having like a nice robust beer.
Well, I would say a craft like session red IPA or cold IPA or black IPA, the fact that you're making them sessionable, like, is what's the fucking point?
I know, right?
Like you know, those are styles that don't lend themselves at all to the sessionability of them, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been feeling about those, you know, especially like you said, like the session, like a session black IPA or something. Like, it's just like a weird idea in and of itself that you're just like, oh, I'm going to take these big flavor beers and make them watery.
Just make them a short, like, just do a short beer instead. Like, just do a regular short, you know, short lager.
Yeah. So, but like what I was saying is, I'm, you know, after having those, I'm glad to come back to something Founders flagship and taste it and, you know, be impressed with what they've done again, because like I said, it's kind of, I still think they make really good beers, having those most recent all days and finding them kind of lackluster, you know, it's a little disappointing. So Founders Porter, check it out. It should be available pretty much in most areas, I would guess. It's a flagship, and if you get Founders, I bet you have Founders Porter somewhere. All right, so let's talk A Christmas Melody. And to be honest with you, I don't really know where to start with this movie.
Because, I do.
Oh, you do. All right, let's just
for now and forever, it should be referred to as, because we have such directorial talent and power behind this, as Mariah Carey Presents a Hallmark Movie by Mariah Carey, A Christmas Melody.
That's like, right.
Like, it's a John Carpenter film. Like,
it's a John Carpenter feature. I am surprised that they didn't do like Mariah Carey Presents It seems like something that they would do. That
well, and do. Again, in the poster, they have Mariah Carey top billing,
front and center.
Yeah, not like well, she's to the right.
Lacey's yeah, that's true. True. Literally, Lacey's literally to the right. Yeah.
I say Lacey's in the middle, and then Doofy McDoofy's on the left.
In a but, very photoshopped looking poster.
Yeah, like
it looks like none of those people are truly there in the room, even though they did shoot scenes in the room.
No, it was just Lacey. It was just Lacey at the piano, and then everyone else. Like Mariah had a clause in her contract, like you have to stay 70 feet away from her. Like you know.
Well, I think that's probably true because, like in this movie,
her shots are really, really bad.
Yeah, like I'm not sure. It's been speculated that Mariah really didn't do very much shooting on set, because if you watch, like, so if you're watching this movie. And you see all the scenes where Mariah's in it, you'll notice that every scene that she's in, there's very, very rarely a shot with everybody all together in the same shot. Most of the time, it's a very extreme close-up of Mariah Carey, so you can't see anything in the background except for a blurry Vaseline blurred back, like Christmas background, and Mariah's literally filling the entire screen with a ridiculous filter on soft focus filter.
That soft focus filter. She looks like in this, like she belongs in the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
And when Kirk's hitting on women and the women in that have extremely soft focus lenses. So, you know, like Kirk's going to plow that. Like, so that's what Mariah's going for here.
It's frightening to be honest with you. It's like something you would see out of AI now, like that AI would make, because this, like all of those scenes where you have those extreme close-ups of Mariah, they just look so off. And then you shoot back to everybody else that, you know, has normal filters on, and it looks so inconsistent throughout. But it's speculated that Mariah didn't shoot a lot of those scenes. And if you look really closely when they shoot some of the scenes, they almost shoot Mariah like if there's a exterior shot or something like that where you see Mariah's character and Lacey and some other people in the same room. It looks like a stand-in for Mariah because they shoot it like fucking Michael Myers in Halloween, like with Mariah standing off to the side, like literally like it's the camera's over her shoulder. So you can only see the dress and you're like, oh, there's Mariah. But it's really not. It's like some lady, you know, with tatas like Mariah just standing there in the shot. So she didn't have to be there. Because I think it's probably true. She didn't shoot most things on set. It's my guess. It's very off-putting, though, throughout the movie.
You know, it's funny. She probably originally wasn't in the movie. And she's like, wait, I should be in the movie. We're going back to this. We're going back to the studio. Put me in, boys and girls.
I could see that. I could see that, too. Because... this, like Mariah herself, the character, is something that I think that a person like Jennifer Tilly could do very well, because it is an over-the-top character. It's like evil PTA mom. You know, it's very generic.
But Jennifer Tilly has the dryness, sure, and the wit to accompany that.
Yes.
Mariah Carey
acts like fucking, she's never had any conversations with humans before.
Not only that, she's a fucking horrendous actress. Absolutely horrendous. Like, awe-inspiringly bad.
I know. It truly is.
Like, you think after Glitter, she wouldn't bother, like going down this road again. But Hallmark must have cut her and Nick a pretty nifty check for her to be like, yeah, sure, whatever. You know.
They would have had a better time just getting a cardboard standee and just putting it there. Someone from the set just voicing over it, because that's pretty much the extent of the acting ability that Mariah Carey brings to this movie. It is very bad. It, like you said, it's awe-inspiring. It's like, how can you be that bad at acting? Like literally just delivering lines with a dryness that rivals vaginal yeast infections.
It reminds me so much of like the Nightman Cometh episode of It's Always Sunny with Mac being like, you can't tell me what to do. when they're acting the play out. This film is actually, it's more, it's not even filmy, really. It's very much like a Tennessee Williams play. Like, they're all just.
Yep. Yeah. It does like, seem like
it's,
that.
It's very play like because of how small the cast is, how, you know, everything's got like a sitcom interlude of like, here's your outside the diner.
Yeah. Not only that, but I really like too the one very like inconsistent shot early on in the movie where they're traveling, because the whole idea is that they're moving from L.A. Lacey Chabert and her daughter are moving from L.A. to her small town Ohio home.
Silver Springs. Live.
Silver Springs. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I forgot the generic name of the town, but Silver Springs it is. And so they pick up and move like really close to Christmas. And obviously her daughter's very upset about that. She's got friends at home. She's asking Santa not to, you know, help her move back to L.A. And in the car, there's like this like ultra realistic like filming with a handheld camera of like sideways shots of like the kid in the car and stuff like that. It's like, you know, it's almost like TV documentary style, you know, where
it's the Amazing Race,
Chris Hansen going to, you know, to catch a predator in the car. And then all of a sudden you get back to like this very like TV filmy setup that they have for the camera later on. And so, so inconsistent, like ultra gritty realism in the car and then back to regular TV set on the rest of the movie. What we're saying is it both does seem like Mariah Carey directed this movie and it doesn't, right? Because I can't imagine that Mariah Carey actually bothered to direct the movie. I also can understand that it does look very amateurish, like Mariah Carey would have directed it. But again, that's kind of the Hallmark shtick too. You know, it's very cheap looking.
But this is this is exceptionally cheap, though.
Mm-hmm. I guess the thing that they really spend the most money on is the decorations, in my opinion, because they do decorate quite a bit in this one, just like we've seen. Like probably the cheapest one decorations wise that we've seen was the COVID one. You know, the Christmas at Castle Heart that we did last week. That's probably the cheapest one, and that one kind of makes a little bit of sense. Like, yeah, they can't decorate a Scottish castle or an Irish castle. But here, you know, they do get at least a good amount of decoration up. And you even see that in one scene where the little girl's hesitant to go to this new school in Ohio. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's so glamorous to have you here. You're like an L.A. celebrity. I can't believe you're coming to this small little town in Ohio, but it's lovely here. And then you see in the background, like the school is just festooned with decorations. Like, I've never been to a school that looks like that, where it's just like
you want to say that
everywhere.
you want to say that word again?
Yeah, festooned. The Hallmark movies, they really like allow you to get that word in. You know, it's they're almost built into the script. Festooned, festooned with baubles. They really are, though. This hallway is literally where the definition of festooned. So. It's funny though. Like, I've never said, because they're trying to sell this thing like, oh yeah, poor her, it must suck to come to this very ritzy Ohio small town that looks nothing like a regular rural area, you know. And it must suck to come here and see how fucking magical it is at Christmas time around here.
Well, not only that, we have one male to look to the entire time. There's only one male in this town looking to. Bid the hand of.
No, that's not true. I did see that. Remember when Lacey Chabert's out?
Yes.
I love spinning around in fake snow. I love Silver Springs. Like having the orgasm.
Yeah. No. The guy's old. The old people that were walking by, that guy's old. He doesn't count.
he's not eligible.
He's not. He doesn't count. He's like, hey, if I was 20 years younger, I would, but no.
I've got this old bag by my side now.
I got dust coming out.
Yeah. So I guess you're right then. You can't forget the Santa Claus figure. He's another
Tom.
Guy. Yeah.
I always love my favorite Santa Claus is to be some guy named Tom and somebody who's got the most rouge cheeks ever. Like they've been just drinking hot brandy all day. Like, yeah.
He probably has been. He's just he's so happy go lucky guy at Christmas time at this school. He's kids are vomiting all over the place from the food. Cleaning up shit and vomit in the hallways. But you know what? He's got that brandy tucked away there in his back pocket.
Isn't this delightful? Pestilence? No, it is great, though, because, like, if you do think about it now, like, oh, Santa's red cheek, rosy red cheeks and his rosy red buttered nose. It's like, Santa's drunk.
Yeah, he's been drinking a lot.
He's been pounding schnapps the entire time trying to get through the night.
He's, like, 1,000 years old. He's been, you know.
Mrs. Claus is quite the bitch these days.
He drinks hot chocolate with little schnapps kinked in there. Peppermint schnapps.
Yeah, it's like little Nicky, like, oh, schnapps. Peppermint.
What do you think about this whole idea that, like, ooh, there's like a magical Santa Claus?
That Santa is a janitor? Yeah, I'm fine.
Santa's a janitor. And not only that, he's the homeless guy at the beginning of the movie, too.
Listen, that's fine. I'm fine with that. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because seeing Babes in Toyland from like 1984 with Pat Morita as Santa Claus, I learned that if a Japanese man can be Santa, anybody can.
Well, I'm not talking about it necessarily, but I'm saying in this movie, trying to...
No, it's fine.
Snaggle that in here.
Santa can be homeless. It's okay.
It's like, fine. It's like Christmas with the Cranks, right? Like this, everybody's seasonal favorite, Christmas with the Cranks. You have like the Santa figure in the background. It's like, oh, trying to spread a little bit of magic in there. Cause you have the little girl, Emily, she writes a,
she's not even little. She's like 9 years old. Yeah. So the fact that like Lacey's still parading that around, like, don't you still believe in Santa? Stop, Lacey.
I mean, honestly, yeah, here Emily is, writing bad emo poetry and cutting herself in the bathroom in here. Like, oh, Santa, I'm so upset. And
listening to Simple Plan, like, how could this happen to me?
She's writing it. It's not only that, it's like, it's funny because of the opening. It looks like she's writing like a letter to Santa, writing in her diary, and she's fucking writing all in rhyme. It's like, what little girl is writing in her Christmas letter?
Listen, The Last of Us 2 and Red Dead 2 saw this and it was like, journal, we need journal, so Ellie can sit there and write in her journal about, it's like,
you know what my now 4-year-old wrote to Santa? He said, Santa, you can come, but don't live here. That's what he wrote in his fucking letter. This little girl's writing fucking poetry to Santa Claus in her letter. Come on now. Come on.
I think that means your son's just a genius. That's pretty good, though. You can come, but you can't stay. Yeah,
you can come, but you can't live here. It's like, all right. Good
to know. You got to get the hell out of here.
He does the same thing with vampires, too.
you can come, but you
can't stay. So, yeah, it's funny, though. It's funny that they, like, not only that, too, but what I found even more comical was Lacey Chabert wishes upon a literal star.
And, oh my god, it looks like she's taking a crap too. And I sent you a snap of that, of like, it's like acting, like when she's like, oh, you know,
yeah, I saw
which Lacey's usually easily the best part of these movies because she's like the only person who's actually an actor in these films, like of credit and note and talent. Mm-hmm. Not just because she's attached to it, but because she actually is, you know, a talented actress. But that part was like, so like, ugh, what the hell are you doing?
I blame the Mariah Carey direction.
Because they give her a slight soft focus too. Like, yeah. Look.
Mariah Carey's off on the sides and more pathos, more emotion. Yelling about it. No,
do you think Mariah Carey even knows what the word pathos is?
Clearly from this movie, no. She's got no idea. She's got no idea what makes a good movie, so no.
Well, she made Glitter, so again, like, it's just hilarious that, like, she's like, okay, it's been 14 years since Glitter. I can come back now. We can try again this time at the Hallmark.
I think we got to talk about, too, the writing in this movie, because as you said to me, it's so straight and, like, literally every character's got to give like exposition about them. They're like,
it's the most expositional dumping in the most stupidly straightforward way ever, especially the first like 10 minutes where setting everything up. Like, that's why you're such a great designer. I know I'm a great designer based here in LA, but wouldn't it be good if we did this? Well, you can't do that because your husband's dead and you're raising a child. I know, but what if we went back to my hometown in Ohio to figure things out? Well, you can't do that because I need you here at Barnes & Noble's store or whatever the hell it's called. You know, it's so,
it's
like
really,
just,
yeah. It's just laying the groundwork. And then not only that, when you first meet Mariah Carey, she's like, my name is Melissa McKean Atkinson. You might know me for being in your school. Yeah, you know, like, we went to school together. I'm now McKean Atkinson. And I understand with
that. I have three children and a husband. Here's my 10-year anniversary ring. That's right. He nutted in me three times, and I had to shit out three little shitheads, and now my vagina's forever ruined. But look, he got me this ring to make up for it. I let him do cocaine on a whore's ass on a every other weekend to keep the marriage going.
I mean, I understand with Mariah's character, like, she's, you know, supposed to be that type of person who's like gotta brag about what she's got. But it's at the same time, it's so ridiculous. Every character delivers like every little nuance of their character exposition that you gotta have to like.
Isn't that funny though? But like in these movies, like the idea of like oh, what's peak womanhood here? I'm a stay-at-home mom with a husband who loves me. That's peak. Because that's peak womanhood. Because that's what she has. And that's what, at the end of this movie, that Lacey Chabert realizes. I don't need to be making clothes in L.A. for Hollywood stars.
I could just this music teacher at the
school. I can marry this fucking, the slubbiest looking shitbag here.
The only one there. Sorry.
Yeah,
in town.
Literally, that man, fucking Danny Collier, Brendan Elliott, won the lottery. Like, you know, I'm literally the last. Like, he's the only man in this whole fucking town outside of Santa Thomas.
She's like, meet.
You'll do. Yeah. Your off spiky hair. You low rent Brendan Fraser. Like.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because there's just no other person for her to like there to have any romance with. So this Silver Springs is like been devoid of like any other masculine presence. It's hilarious. But
ever since A Christmas in Rome, literally the love interest have just gone.
At least like, this one does have a little bit of romance to it, like, because he's actually trying to woo her at least, like. The other ones are just kind of like they're there together and they're like, well, we might as well. We've been spending 7 days together, so I guess we'll just try it. At least in this one, there's kind of like the semblance of they're making an effort. You know, Danny is picking up Lacey's daughter from school and he's teaching her. And not only that, but he's doing some favoritism here by allowing Lacey's daughter, who hasn't even been at this school for like 2 weeks, to come in and be like the star attraction of the talent show. I guess it makes sense.
Not only that, listen to her off key singing. Like, wow, you're wonderful. Those follow la la's that kid was singing were dreadful. Like they weren't even.
What do you think? Like, do you like the fact that they've turned Mariah Carey's in? I at first thought it was going to be All I Want for Christmas Is You, but it's actually her 2010 single, Oh Santa. Do you like that they turn that into the song that they perform at the end there at the talent show, as though little Emily wrote that song?
No, it's fucking stupid. Who knows that song off the top of their head?
I mean, I do know it a little bit. I've heard it a few times, like, Oh Santa, Bella. And then you got like the little chorus of like choir kids in the background, like,
no.
Santa's gonna come down my chimney.
Say that again. Santa's gonna come down my chimney.
Yeah. Whatever it is that those little kids say in the background.
With the vocoder playing, like distorting the voice the entire time.
Yeah. I think it's funny because it's almost like Mariah Carey's like doing a little pat on the back. It's like, Because when they first like display the lyrics that she's writing, she's like, ah, I've been writing these and they don't even really rhyme that much. And Danny's like, let me take a look at that. And it's like, they've got off rhymes in there, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, he's like, wow, this is amazing. It's like, all right, Mariah, no need to pat yourself on the back for writing that song.
Not only that, too. Not only that, that he adds like two power chords, like, oh, yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Great. This is going to be great. No, I would have been more impressed if it was like, you know, the boss is like, Santa Claus is coming to town, which is like not a great song, but it's great because it is such like just effort and like,
yeah,
like fun drunk rap, like Santa Claus is coming. I'd be
impressed if Emily came out with Santa Claus, you know, that would have been impressive. Yeah, if Emily was able to deliver the boss,
you better watch it. Bring him home.
Or a
performance
was sliding along the stage from falling off the Super Bowl stage.
You better put the chicken fingers down.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been impressive. I would have liked that. Yeah, no, but this just seems like Mariah Carey patting herself on the back for like, I can't believe you wrote such a good song. Oh, Santa.
Where is her being like, I sent for you.
Yeah. Well, you said this movie starts out on a low note with the First Noel, right? As the song.
It's a terrible song. Noel.
I told you, it's a reason for the season. It's Jesus.
No, Santa Claus.
Yeah, this movie kind of comes to that conclusion, right?
But yeah, I don't know why. It's just like to be honest with you, it's a song that's never even really entered my like head until like recent years, because I was like, oh yeah, what is the First Noel? Then I hear the song, like, oh, that's the song. Like, yeah, I don't like
so, yeah, it's just I don't like that. That's not very good.
You know what they should have had as the love interest in this? Where's Josh Groban?
Yeah.
Or Michael Bublé.
Mm. There you go. I think Michael Bublé has done his own little holiday Christmas movie or something like that. I feel like maybe not. Maybe I'm making it up.
Better yet.
Get to that Property Brothers brother.
Better yet. What if Lacey Chabert is with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I could see one. I could see them doing that too. A little Hallmark Trans-Siberian Orchestra tie-in as they start to, you know, I think their popularity has been waning a bit in years. So to bring it back up, we got a TSA.
They haven't done anything new in like 40 years. Like,
neither has Mannheim Steamroller, and they're still all over the airwaves.
I mean,
with the classics, you just don't need to do anymore.
Well, I was going to say, like, yeah, like, you know, like, remember, like, I think we talked about it before, like the, you know, TSO shows, and they're like, here are all your TSO hits and songs from the Lost Christmas. It's like, nobody cares.
Like, yeah, where it's like the quiet, like, I've literally seen people falling asleep during the second half there, where people are, like, the children come out, like, and people are just, like, snoring away. It's like the best Christmas snap you've ever taken from TSO. It's like, yeah, I go for the first half, get energized. They put me right out. It's great.
I don't think I've ever listened to The Lost Christmas, but I remember just from the ads, they're like, come see a TSO at the Times Union Center, where they play your favorite songs and from their Lost Christmas. And it's like, the fuck's The Lost Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best rush because you get that energy from the first half, and then completely, it's like having a pot of coffee and then getting anesthesia immediately. And you're just out.
Speaking of pot of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go on your little rant here?
Well, I'm surprised that the poster doesn't have Folger's coffee canister on the piano in the center of the poster, because it really should have it. This movie has probably more Folger's shots than it does Mariah Carey. And honestly, the one scene that the first time you get to see like that Folgers tie-in looks like the fucking Folgers canister is baby Jesus in the manger, because it's basically a giant Folgers canister sitting in a basket. And they're like, oh my gosh, they made us a gift basket for coming here. I can't believe it. And it's literally just like fucking Folgers canister. That's it. Like there's nothing else in this gift basket. He's like, thank you for the coffee that I'm going to be using for the next 30 days of the with this Folgers canister. I can't believe you've gotten me Folgers. And then not only that, like I feel like for me, if I had walked into a gift basket that had a Folgers canister in it, I probably would be walking back out like, nope, this town's not for me. Silver Springs, no thank you. I'm not interested in Silver Springs anymore if you're going to be giving me Folgers.
Well, so. You can understand that, though, because her house is inherited from, like, her family. And the family's house is, like, still decorated in, like, 1972.
Yeah.
Did you not see, like, all the floral print and all on that house?
Oh, yeah. I love the Folgers, though. The Folgers is the best part of this movie because it's so comical how like long the shots linger on these Folgers canisters, like so lovingly lingering on Folgers. There's this, not only is there that scene where it's in the gift basket, but then there's another scene where Folgers canister is just like randomly propped out in the open while they're grabbing a coffee pot.
It's funny too, because it's like it's like an SNL bit. Like, oh, what are you doing there? Like, oh, I'm just grabbing my Folgers coffee. Folgers coffee? Well, what's that? Well, this is only the greatest coffee you can find around here in Ohio. In rural Ohio. Can't you have Maxwell House? No!
Maxwell House.
What about Chock Full of Nuts? That's a New York thing. No. Here we have nice aromatically brewed Folgers coffee.
We're a Folgers family here. If you don't like that, you can get the fuck out of our house.
Listen, the only time, like, I mean, I don't think it's, like, as awful as you say. Like, it's not great, but, like, I mean, there is, like, because, I mean, that's diner coffee, Folgers and Maxwell House. And there is a simple beauty as you're going to a diner to have either your eggs or your omelet. And they're like, what do you want to have to drink? Coffee. And you just drink a nice black coffee. That's that. And it's like,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't think Folgers is, like, terribly bad. I've definitely had way worse coffee than Folgers. I'm even a person for the nostalgia factor. Sometimes, and I haven't had it in a long time, but sometimes I get the hankering for an instant coffee. How's that sound for you? You had an instant coffee in a while? Have you ever had instant coffee?
What's that?
You don't know what instant coffee is? Basically, it's like instant coffee is like a freeze-dried, or I don't know what the fuck it is, but whatever it is, it's like coffee grounds in a canister. You just like take a couple scoops out, and you boil some hot water and then you pour it in. It's like, you know, kind of like a hot cocoa. And you just mix it up and there's your instant coffee.
No.
That's it.
I've never had that.
Which begs the question, how is it that instant when you're fucking boiling water anyway? You make the coffee, you boil water and it drips over the coffee. Or you boil the water and you put it in instant coffee. What the fuck is so instant about it?
Well, I was going to say, that seems really weird. Like, I mean, like.
No, it's a big thing.
I was saying, because I mean, like coffee, like all you're doing, it's like tea. You're just brewing it over the grounds and there's your coffee. So what's the point of boiling the water and just adding coffee crystals to it?
I agree.
you're not skipping any steps in the process.
I know.
Like,
I don't know where it came from.
It's the same. It's probably some creation of after World War II or like, hey, maybe. I got a better, right? Like, you know.
you don't have the means of putting the water over the coffee, so we just crystallize the coffee. If you it's a weird reference, but if you watch Friday the 13th, in when they're in the cabin, she makes instant coffee. There's like a whole scene where they're like playing board games, she goes in, everybody's kind of missing, and she goes in and makes instant coffee. You see it, and something that I've always noticed in that movie, she's making it, and every time I see it I'm like, I should make myself a cup of instant coffee. So it's probably not going to be good, but it'll be nostalgic. So Because I used to drink that every now and then when I was younger, probably like in my teens. I'd sometimes just have a cup of instant coffee.
Do they even still sell like
instant coffee? Yeah, they sure do. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I've seen stuff before, but it's just like.
I think the idea was like, if you don't have a coffee pot or you don't want to like make a whole pot, you can just like throw some crystals in and make some hot water and just dump it in there. Or if you're like you, with your bastardized approach to tea. You just take a cup of pot, a cup of water, throw it in the microwave, and then put the crystals in there.
Yeah, that's what we call putting the kettle on, dearie.
All those microwaves on you. Yeah, so Folgers Coffee is definitely a sponsor of this movie. It's very egregious. It's not subtle in any way. And yeah, it's hilarious, honestly. It made me laugh both times I saw it. I was like, holy shit.
The second time is worse because it's like,
the second time is worse.
Because she's making the coffee, all of a sudden, like, you see her pull out the Folgers, and it's like, what Lacey's doing, like, is off camera. You just see, like, the can of Folgers just sitting there.
And it's funny, though, too, because I feel like, you know, this was made in 2015. I feel like ad placement's gotten even worse than this, although it's not as, like, ridiculous and unsubtle as this movie. There's so much ad placement in movies now. It's like, oh, what are you having? You're having a Coke? You're having a Coke? I love Coke. You know, it's definitely not as egregious as this movie, but it's still very prevalent to, and probably more so than this, but it's really noticeable in this one. What do you think about the finale, the actual performance in this, where everything is a-okay. They all are living happily ever after. And then you have to sit through this kid's talent show performance of, Oh Santa.
Meh. I mean, one thing that's always annoying me about films is when they do these, like, pageants, and it's like, here's the one grade that's putting on the pageant. And it's like, you have other kids at the school. What the fuck are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
They get out of it. Like, you're like, oh, it's only for this grade.
Not only that, but the production cost of this one talent show performance.
And not only that, the principal's like, this one show will fund the music department for the entire year.
Yeah, yeah.
So they run on nothing. Like, they don't run on anything.
How much is this talent show?
Like, yeah, like, what's, like, how much does it cost to take it to the show?
And not,
like,
only that, but who cares then if they've already bought the ticket? Who cares if the show is utter shit?
Yeah.
Like, it could just be, like, a kid farting on stage. They've already bought the ticket. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? They're going to ask for a refund? You say, get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's the same thing, too. And, like, you know, you got, like, oh, you know, please, you know, we didn't get any money this year for school sports. So, like, will you please fund the girls' soccer team? It's like, yeah, my goddamn daughter wants to play soccer. I have to fund the team. Like, you know, they got your balls in a vice grip, yeah, on that. Like, yeah, you know.
She wants to play soccer. She's all up in my face about it. Yeah. What do you think about the whole, so this movie, again, like, we've talked in throughout this series, we've talked about how the Hallmark movies sometimes lack a conflict, right? They don't, it's like, just things happen and then the end. You know, it doesn't really have the whole rising action, falling action thing that most films and, you know, stories have. This movie does have a little bit of conflict. It has a conflict where all of a sudden the guy gets extremely upset about Lacey's character finding out that she's getting hired on to do a whole designer clothing line that she's got for a company, and she would have to move back to LA. And so, like, the guy, without even questioning anything or anything, he just, like, goes quiet, standoffish, and it's like, I guess I better leave then. You know, you're going back to LA, so what good is it? I didn't get my dick wet.
There's always Mariah Carey.
At least this movie, though, has a subtle, like, a little bit of a conflict. It's all more of a misunderstanding, again, like a stupid misunderstanding, because it's just like, this all could have been avoided if he was just like, so are you moving back to LA? And she's like, no, I don't think I will. I think I'll stay here. But no, instead, they all have to, like, go through an entire day of, like, will they, won't they? I can't believe, I don't know. I've got to decide. And then you have Kathy and Jimmy, poor Kathy and Jimmy here, gets pulled into this shit show of a movie for no reason other than to be a fucking waitress in the background half the time. Or to,
no, she owns all the time. She owns the diner. Don't you dare discard her down to a waitress. She owns the Silver Spring Diner.
And in the, you know, she's constantly like, oh, she likes him. Like, you don't even realize it, but you like him.
Don't you used to remember her, my niece from somebody from school that you liked? Well, everyone had a hard on for Lacey. Yeah,
they loved you. They loved you. Poor Kathy and Jimmy. She doesn't get much to work with here. And then she looks
like, she's like, I don't need to hear that. I don't need to hear how y'all had, everyone had in the town had boners for my niece.
And then at the end of the movie, when she, that there's that really awkward shot of her doing a clap along to the song, like, it like looks like she's in like a religious concert or something like that. Yeah. Rock for Jesus.
But not in Lacey's dress, that's for damn sure.
No. Lacey's got the girls out a little bit here.
Yeah.
And not only that, Mariah's got the girls out too.
Well, that's the whole gimmick.
That is the, yeah.
And look at her pearl necklace, especially in that poster. That thing's like just fucking
gone.
Down to her ass. Like,
yeah. Such a ridiculous. Oh, Mariah. It's funny though. It's funny. This movie is, I don't know. Would you say that you liked A Christmas Melody or less than what we've seen previously?
No. But it does fit into the so bad, it's kind of, it is funny. Because, like, again, so, like, for instance, Brendan Elliott, our love interest, Danny Coulier, who is also, starred in the Mobile Suit Gundam G-Saver film.
Hey, Danny Coulier, like, he's fucking Dave Coulier from Family, from his name is Danny Collier. You're, like, giving him a French name, but like Dave Coulier, but keeps making me laugh. I just got to break in here and say that. Whatever you keep saying, I keep thinking you're meaning Dave Coulier. Yes.
No,
Dave Coulier, the love interest.
It's more like Corky Romano.
Yeah.
Piss it. No, it's joy. Yeah, so Danny Coulier. Danny Collier. Also famous, Brandon Elliott, famous for, as I said, Mobile Suit Gundam's first live action film, G Savior, which is a terrible film. From
Are you serious?
Yeah, he stars in G Savior. Oh, I haven't seen. Yeah. I still haven't seen it. But yeah, as I was scrolling through his IMDb page, that's on there. But yeah, I mean, he's incredibly bland, very one note. Like he's like not interesting at all. He's just this big beefy doofus that's like, I was a band geek. Remember when we were in bio class and we did the frog together and I cut the frog for you? Yeah, I remember that because I was off put by that. Wow. I should start a family with this man. Dumb. His whole existence in this film is dumb because he's literally the only male figure here for Lacey to be like, I need somebody to be the father of my daughter. I need somebody to be the stepfather. And I need new children. Dumb.
Yeah. It is dumb, and it's, I don't know, it's the film itself, it doesn't really have much going for it. Like I said, it took me a while to get through this movie. It doesn't really have an interesting plot to it at all. I think it's kind of cheap. It's mostly cheesy. But the only thing that it does have about it is the so bad it's good quality of, like, you're just laughing at it as it's going on because it's really poorly done. And I will say Lacey Chabert does do a pretty good job, despite what we've said about, like, you know, some of those moments where the acting is obviously not well done. And it's probably more due to direction than anything else.
She would use this film as a step to making better films.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it, part of it too might just be the time frame that we're in. So this is probably the earliest. This is the earliest movie that we've done from a Hallmark perspective. 2015's, you know, we've done what was the earliest one before that? 2019, something like that. Yeah. So like this is definitely quite a bit earlier than all of the other ones that we've done, which are a little bit more focused. Like now they've got a production line going where they just literally just cranking these things out, and there's really, you know, there's not a lot of room for them to like maneuver around. I don't think in 2015 they had that quite as much. So, you know, it makes sense that it's a little rougher. They hadn't really perfected the art of doing Christmas movies at that time. So,
not like that. I just think film in general. Because again, like the film comes off not even really TV movies ish, but it's like very play like because it's so here's your three sets, here's your exterior shots. Go. And like, here's your limited cast, you know, what's going on. But
yeah,
Lacey is easily the best part again, because again, she's like the only like trained actor in the goddamn in the whole entire production and giving an effort that's, you know, worth anything. You know, she's still very charming, charismatic, and though given stupid shit to do and say, you know, quirky and fun, you know.
Yeah. So I guess we might as well give this a rating. You know, we got to do it at some point. So on a scale of 0 to 10, Folgers canisters of biblical proportion, what would you give A Christmas Melody?
Mariah Carey's A Christmas Melody.
Yeah, Mariah Carey presents A Christmas Melody, otherwise known as Mistletoe and Melody.
Otherwise known as a Folgers commercial. I'll give it a 4.5 out of 10. It's a very boring film. It's a very unattractive film. It's not shot well. The writing is terrible. It's a easily out of the every Lacey Chabert Hallmark Christmas film we've done so far, the tritest and most sickeningly poor done film. Mariah Carey, though, is fun when she's acting, and it's not that much, but when she's around, she just totally chews up the screen as this incredibly negative energy of terrible acting, but it is fun. And that is kind of what makes it fun, and I think a little bit to the fact that there is so much of that kind of so bad it's good quality to it because of that kind of schmaltz and cheese that Mariah kind of brings around. Kind of, it does give it a little bit of a, you know, you kind of got to watch it to see it. You know, drunk custodian Santa. But other than that, it's easily the worst Lacey Chabert Hallmark film we've done. It's easily the one that seems like it's got the least effort, least budget. The writing is incredibly tacky and very straightforwardly autistic and expositional. 4.5. I would say just see it to see Mariah Carey ham up at the camera, and that's about it. I can't see how anyone likes this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would give it, and I was going to give it like 3.5 out of 10. I think that it's a very difficult movie to watch unless you're really watching it to kind of make fun of it and watch it for the so bad it's good qualities, which is better done in a group instead of just singly individually watching it. I don't think that this movie interestingly gives off enough Christmassy vibes either for like a Hallmark holiday romance movie. It's mostly kind of banking on the fact that like you like Mariah Carey's Christmas music. You know, other than that, it's not super Christmassy. It doesn't have a lot of things. Like, you're not going to see all of the things that we've talked about from other Hallmark movies where they're doing all kinds of like Christmas events. Like, the only thing that is truly in this movie is like decorating a tree and seeing the Christmas pageant. That's literally it. So I think even from a Christmas perspective, this movie's not that good at presenting like Christmas elements. And then, of course, Mariah Carey is super wooden. You could have just had a stand-in, like a standee of her, and it would have done the same effect, because ultimately she's shown very little. What she does is shown, she's horribly acting. And at the end of the movie, she just gets various close-up shots of her looking very sour about a little girl performing in the talent show. So it's like, it's not a good showing for Mariah Carey in general. But it is fun to watch her struggle to know what acting is. And then Lacey Chabert does a good job. You know, she's a workman in these movies. She's, you know, she knows what to do and she does it. But she can't really save this one. It's just a bland movie. And unless you really, really, really like to see like children performing music, I would steer clear of this one. It's really not worth it. And it was funny because I'd seen some reviews saying like, this is my favorite Hallmark movie. I watch it every year. It's like, holy shit. I don't know if I could watch it. I almost didn't know if I could watch it this year, one year.
I like it somebody,
every year.
I like that somebody on IMDb gave it a 9 out of 10 rating, and the title for the review was enjoyable.
like 9 out of 10.
what? Like, oh, it's 9 out of 10. What do you think? It's enjoyable.
What's a 10 out of 10? Like, hey, like 10 out of 10 is, like, commendable.
This might be the best part about this whole Chabert and Gifts special is like going on IMDb and seeing these housewives write these reviews.
I mean, I understand liking some of the Hallmark movies because they make you forget. They make like the whole, you know, your world, right? They make you forget reality for a little bit. They make you feel good. There's romance to them sometimes. But this movie in particular, I cannot imagine people saying like, this is one of my favorite movies. Like, how, what did the Folgers do it for you? You know, like the blatant Folgers advertising, did that do it for you? Did advertising Mariah Carey's song, Oh Santa, do it for you? Like, what? I can't imagine loving this movie. Like, to each their own, but I just don't understand how this one in particular would be like, yes,
that's the one.
That's it.
The
movie. That's my favorite movie of all time. It's more than It's a Wonderful Life.
More than Miracle on 34th.
Exactly. I can't see it. Can't see it. All right. So that concludes our episode on Christmas Melody. And we're going to do another, I think we're going to do another Lacey Chabert movie for like the January, say, like as we get into the new year. Because this episode is going to go and we're going to have Christmas like right after this episode comes out. But then that week after, there'll be another chance for us to release an episode before New Year's. And I think, I was thinking we would do Winter at Vale for our final Lacey Chabert holiday Chabert and Gifts episode. What do you think about that? Because it's not a Christmas movie. I looked and I did not see any Lacey Chabert New Year's movies that would tie into the New Year.
Are you sure you don't want to do like The Dancing Detective, A Deadly Tango? Where she plays Detective Constance Bailey.
I mean, I would love to do it. I was just thinking you would want to tie into the...
That's her newest Hallmark Movies and Mysteries television.
I know, yeah, because she's into like the mysteries part, too. She doesn't just do the romance. She does the mysteries, too. Like the crossword deaths or whatever. Death by crossword or something like that.
Crossword Mysteries.
Yes, she does that one. And she also, I've seen she's done like The Wedding Veil, like six different movies of The Wedding Veil or something like that.
There are three this year. Expectations, Inspiration, yeah. And Journey.
How? First of all, how?
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Like, so The Wedding Veil, The Wedding Veil Unveiled, The Wedding Veil Legacy, The Wedding Veil Expectations, The Wedding Veil Inspiration. She must be getting quite the cut for that.
So it's like, probably they just had her, they just shot them all back to back to back, and they gave her a nice round trip airfare to all different kinds of places.
I wonder if that's tied to the Christmas Waltz, because in The Wedding Veil, she's Avery Hastings, Avery Morrison, but also in Christmas Waltz, her name is Avery.
So
I wonder if there's a set.
I don't know. Wow. What a tie-in. Now I'm intrigued. I need to watch them all.
God, look at this COVID shot of fucking Winter and Vale. Of that, just like as you were saying, like Burlington Coat Factory. Pick, like, here we are, kids, we're at the ski lodge.
The wedding veil unveiled.
Ugh. Look at all these crossword mystery movies, though. Don't you just want to see what Detective Tess Harper is up to?
I do. I really do. Yeah, so we'll come back with another episode of Shabari and Gifts. That'll be our last one. Should be fun. We appreciate you listening throughout our holiday season. Hope you have a good Christmas and whatever other holidays you celebrate. We're on pretty much any podcast app you could think of, so catch us on Spotify or Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Subscribe to us, leave us a nice review. It always helps us out. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for us on there. And we have an email address at bloodandblackrumpodcast@gmail.com. Write to us. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, movies you want us to consider, and we'll take that into consideration. And we have a Patreon page as well that you can donate to, or you can donate on our Spotify as well. Whatever you can send our way helps us buy beer, so we appreciate that in advance. Maybe we'll go out and buy the Utopias with that money if you donate enough. So
we need a lot of that money.
Yeah, that would be a lot of money. So, all right. That does it for this episode of Shabari and Gifts. Hope you join us next time as we venture further into some Hallmark holiday winter specials from Lacey Chabert. Until then,
take care. This is the greatest special ever.